This episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel, and if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy hoy everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we never stop thinking on sexy thoughts. I'm your host, Bob Mackey, and I'm sweating like Roger Ebert, and this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Who else is here with me today?
Henry Gilbert, and I must say, Excelsior!
And who else?
Legionnaire disease-free Chris Antistam.
Oh, finally, Chris. And today's episode is The Last Temptation of Homer. And it aired on December 9th, 1993. And Chris will tell us what happened on this mythical day in real world history.
Oh my god!
Good golly, Miss Molly Bob!
Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style is the biggest album in the land. Frank Zappa passes away. And Pablo Escobar, star of Netflix's Narcos, is killed.
Weird. Okay, wow. So one Simpsons episode had a Frank Zappa tribute at the end. Or am I thinking of Duckman?
You're thinking
Duckman didn't even air
Mystery
yet.
Science Theater.
Mystery Science Theater. Lots of people were
Ren
fans
and Stimpy.
Of Frank Zappa.
Ren and Stimpy, okay.
I've heard on
He was the Pope in the Powder
That's
Toast.
That's right.
Oh, God, I love that episode.
I'm saved!
That's hold tenaciously to my buttocks.
I thought that was like the worst voice acting I've ever heard until I like listened to Frank Zappa's music. I'm like, that's just how he sounds.
Yeah, he sounds like that all the time.
The Powder Toast Man episode is one of my all-time favorite cartoons ever. I love it. And just Gary Owen screaming at the
yes.
top of his lungs. Groening's mentions it offhandedly. He's not name-dropping, but he was friends with Frank Zappa like way before The Simpsons hit it big, just as cartoon boy Matt Groening. He was bros
like
with Frank Zappa.
A zine and music background, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, Frank Zappa was insufferable. Like, he wasn't... like.
I love him.
You're going to get shit for this anyway.
I never liked his music particularly
I
much.
I wasn't a fan. I mean, I didn't hear much of it, but he had a song on this Dr. Demento collection I owned, and I was like, this isn't funny.
About not eating the yellow snow?
It's Dancin' Fool.
Yeah.
Dancing Fool, yeah.
I was like, I get it. It's a song, but I'll go back to Eat It. Thank you very much.
Well, also, I can't think of Frank Zappa now without thinking of Sharpling and Worcester on The Best Show made up a fake Zappa song that they always go to, like, you haven't heard Jazz Fart? And they're like, how's that go? Jazz Fart. Jazz fart.
Yes.
Everyone's doing the jazz fart.
That sounds like baby snakes.
Exactly.
God, it does.
If you've heard a Frank Zappa song, it's probably Valley Girl. That was his most popular song, and he hated how popular it was. He hated being popular. He hated being liked. He was kind of a sour old man. He was a sour jerk.
Speaking of Duckman, his son played Ajax.
Yep.
Dodd.
Yep.
Dodd.
Yeah, which Duckman would not air until... The spring following this episode, so
Dweezil Ahmed and Moon Unit.
Moon Unit, yep. Is that the girl?
That's the lady.
Okay,
yes.
She's the Valley Girl on Valley Girl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dated Mark Maron or something.
Yep,
man.
I skipped the Mark Maron intros so much, I don't really know. But I hope you never skip these intros and just go straight to when we have the first clip.
This is a very good biography of Frank Zappa. That's very respectful and thorough.
I made the pop culture, the news, all pop culture, so you didn't have to hear about Boris Yeltsin.
Oh,
yes.
I miss that boy. I trade Boris Yeltsin. For Putin any day.
Just a fat drunk.
No. Yeah.
I picked a sports team. I'm okay with whatever Putin does.
Yes.
So this episode...
No, wait. I want World War III with Putin right now.
Yes. This episode, The Last Temptation of Homer. It is the second Homer infidelity episode, but I feel like they work a lot harder than they did with Lurleen Lumpkin to give Mindy a personality.
Mindy Simmons is much more of a person than Lurleen Lumpkin.
And to make her not this sort of scheming, husband stealer. I mean, Lurleen was sympathetic, but Mindy is even more so sympathetic.
Lurleen was sympathetic in the beginning of you meeting her in the Colonel Homer episode, but about halfway through, she's just like, no, I'm out to wreck your home.
Yes, it's like, and I will sleep with you.
Yeah, I want to have sex with you. Like, this is my plan.
And I don't know if it was just to tempt me or the audience... But the best butt in Simpsons history.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They
belongs
gave her
to
a nice
Mindy
butt.
Simmons. Like, she's like.
Her sweet, sweet can.
Particularly voluptuous.
They gave her quite a shape. It is impressive. Especially the Michelle she's wearing like mom jeans.
Yeah, she's wearing fucking bongo jeans.
Yeah.
Perfect 90s butt pants.
Yes. But I've seen 90s butts.
But
it's true.
Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't really sex it up as much as like Beverly D'Angelo did.
Merkin talked about this a lot on the commentary about how he recognized that they did the Learn Lean thing before, but they wanted this to be more like Homer and her just have a connection and they're both trying to resist it but can't.
Yeah.
And that she had been reading, like, when she recorded the lines, he mentioned that she had been doing it more sexily. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, no, calm it down. Like, this is, you're a person. You're a woman who's a person. You're not just a sex
artist. It's downright female Homer.
It's downright sedate and weird considering they got one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood.
Yeah. And I love Michelle Pfeiffer. Mm-hmm. She's great. She's great in everything. And
I looked it up and I really wanted her to be a grandma. It's not true. It's not the case.
She did take a few years off to be a parent and be with her kids and son. That's why she wasn't in movies for about 4 years. And then when she comes back, she's only old and things.
Play Spider-Man's grandmother.
Now she plays Grandma Hagley in every movie. I want to say, like, we've gone a lot through season 5 without a B story. I feel like this is the first season 5 episode with a B story.
But a good B story.
We have Bart becoming a nerd, and the first scene opens with one of his mega pranks.
This is great.
The beauty of it is each parking space is a mere 1 foot narrower, indistinguishable to the naked eye. But therein lies the game.
I fear to watch, yet I cannot turn away!
I want that on a t-shirt with Nelson saying it. Or sorry, Milhouse saying it.
I've said that a million times. Yeah. I love that.
It's one of those Shakespearean Simpsons lines that me and all my friends say.
It makes me so anxious. It made me anxious as a kid. It makes me anxious watching it now. Just how everyone is trapped in their cars and they're like freaking out. It's
great.
Too much.
It's claustrophobic.
Skinner, Edna Exchange.
Blasted woman, you parked too close. Move your car.
I'm in the lines. You got a problem? Go tell your mama.
Oh, don't worry. She'll hear about this.
I can't get out.
I'm trapped.
I can't breathe.
Maybe the most maniacal laugh Bart has ever...
That's a Sideshow Bob laugh, if anything.
He is very happy to be evil.
And once again, they're really building up the Skinner versus his mom thing in season 5. More than anything. There's one line per episode. Sorry.
We're still weeks away from meeting Agnes in the 100th episode. She won't have a spoken word until that episode. Like, we heard her speak in the Crepes of Wrath, but that was a very different episode. That was a very different Agnes than the one we will get to meet.
Back when she called Seymour Spanky, which would never be mentioned again.
And I like that Krabappel punishes him. It's a smart punishment of just like, I'm going to embarrass you by calling on you the rest of the year. You're going to have to be engaged the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And that then Bart's bad eyesight. So this episode hit me hard as a kid because I am a nerd. I did it. Even then, I had a lazy eye and bad eyesight. And then to see Bart's transformation into a detested nerd come from especially the lazy eye, I was like, oh, am I a huge nerd?
Your hair looks fabulous, though.
Thank you. Didn't look so good then. Didn't look so good then.
Wait, yeah, because he ends up going to like every single doctor. A weird HMO joke. Does that even still exist?
HMOs were new then.
Yeah, I mean, they're around now. I know nothing about healthcare. I just check the box on my employment forms. Like, yes, make sure I don't die.
Yeah, but when you were a kid,
with Obamacare. Fingers crossed, I can keep doing that.
Well, when I was a kid, we did go to an HMO a few times. Like, mom takes me and my brother for our yearly checkup, and its thing was just like Hibbert talks it up. Is that multiple specialists are in the same place so they can collect your money at once instead of you going to your general practitioner who then says, go to the ear, nose, and throat guy, or go to the optometrist, or go to the foot guy. They're just like, look, we're all here. We all can get money from you in one place.
Yes, just avoid the tube.
I thought this was weird. He goes to the ear, nose, and throat person.
Well, we're going a little out of order here.
Yeah, but we're just sticking with Bart's B-story for now.
Yeah, so this is when he's getting nerded up by all his treatments.
Looks a little red. I better spray it.
Holy thanks, nice lady. My voice is crazy with this brain already.
Oh, I feel so much better, Mr. Medical Science type person.
That's so, Dan Castellaneta doing his Jerry Lewis. And I feel like it's a better impression, but I think Hank Azaria's is more funny.
I think it's more of a character.
Well, Dan's is just a very good Jerry Lewis, and then Hank, it's like Hank did with a lot of his characters of, I start with an impression and then I turn it a little bit. So Frank isn't 100% the Nutty Professor.
He's a little more confident and rough.
And he can be the voice of reason sometimes instead of just like...
The simpering man-child.
So good. But the A story is...
It starts with Homer trying to... Actually, it's funny. Bart and Homer both have like murderous pranks.
Yeah, there's some nice symmetry going on there.
Homer's is just so mean. Like, there's no joke to it. It's just like, you killed this man.
It was an accident.
He killed him.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
And they're all in the same amount of danger. The idea of the emergency being too cheap to have anything but a painted on emergency door exit.
Just paint it on.
There's no way out. There's no way out.
Yeah.
Well, sir, I won't bore you with the details of our miraculous escape. We desperately need a real emergency exit.
Why, that's a fabulous idea. Anything else you'd like? How about real lead in the radiation shields? Urinal cakes, maybe? Smithers, throw this at him.
I do like the line, we won't bore you with the details, because they don't have a reason to get them out of there. Just like, well, they did escape, but I don't care how.
It's such a Merkin FU, but yeah, they are... actually, in a way, painted into a corner, literally, with that painted-on door... that there is no escape, and they are definitely dead.
Yeah.
So there's no...
A cloud of toxic smoke envelops them.
And that reverse trapdoor was great, of the tube sucking him to India.
Yeah.
And then...
A foreshadowing to Futurama.
Yeah,
and their means
was
of convenience.
Lots of tubes. Mm-hmm.
But that was Charlie's last appearance for a few years. He will be seen in a flashback in Maggie Makes 3 at the plant. But don't get him confused, because there is a similar guy to Charlie who is at the bar, at Moe's Bar, but that's not him. He looks
There's
like
two
him.
Charlies.
If you remember the guy who goes like, hey, you know, Homer, about the H, they're keeping us away from high definition television. Then Homer rats him out to the IRS. That's not Charlie.
Oh, okay. There is... I forget why Marge was hired by the plant, but... oh, because the guy retired. For this reason, they want to hire people is because the economy took a turn for the worse, so...
Mm-hmm. I love that money fight.
Yeah.
Money fight.
No, the economy doesn't take a turn for the worse. They get rid of Charlie. You're thinking of Springfield.
Oh,
the next
man.
Episode.
Yeah, sorry. Very similar scenes, though.
By sucking Charlie away, they have to replace him with someone.
Okay, yeah. I am thinking of Springfield.
And they want to keep it tight while still having their money fights.
It sucks. This isn't Tibor.
Yes.
Because Burns wants to replace him with an immigrant he can pay once in an hour.
Zutroy.
I wish it was Tibor.
Agent Wilson, Department of Labor. This man's an illegal alien.
That's preposterous. Zutroy here is as American as apple pie.
Doch nie krabka, Mr. Burns.
This plant violates every labor law in the book. We found a missing Brazilian soccer team working in your reactor core.
That plane crashed on my property.
So that, of course, is a reference to the movie Alive, based on the book by the same name. It was actually... Uruguay. How do you say the name of the country?
Uruguay.
You are gay. That's how Homer pronounces it.
Uruguayan rugby team, and they crashed in the in some mountain range in 1972.
The Andes,
and that was a staple of every comedy show in this era, because it involved cannibalism, which is hilarious.
They survived by eating their fallen. Like a fellow
and then one guy says tastes like chicken in Alive. This was a thing I've come to notice revisiting many 90s sitcoms and early decades too, of just like, we can't just do a cannibalism joke on here. We can't just do a joke about assassinating JFK. They can't do any of those jokes just straight up. But if they say, this is a reference to Crying Game, this is a reference to Alive, to Tootsie, this is a reference to Oliver Stone's JFK, they can get away with the grossest stuff that they could never do otherwise by just saying, like, no, it's a reference to Alive.
I think that might still be an effect.
I think it still is.
When I see, like, a lot of the Seth MacFarlane stuff, they can't really get away with some of the content unless it's a reference.
Yeah.
Like, if one of the characters did it out of nowhere, you couldn't make that rape joke.
Exactly. But me, otherwise, it's okay.
But if you're spinning something like a cutaway to fiction, it's wow.
I mean, like a decade ago, I think it was Brokeback Mountain. If you wanted to make a gay
joke, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
they found a new gay joke to do, but it was Brokeback. back in the day. And
I did want to run down through the list of the power plant illegal workers. So we have Zootroy, we have Tibor, who I assume was there legally, but they made it sound like he wasn't.
He at least doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Zootroy?
We do know that.
Zootroy's the guy who got a shiny penny or nickel or whatever.
Well, yeah, he looks like the guy who tried to sell Homer the car that could be put her in H,
yeah. Crazy Volklob. So Zootroy, Tibor, Stuart the Duck, we meet in this episode, and Queenie, who Homer ate. R.I.P.
oh,
Queenie.
Oh, the bird. Yeah, the chicken. That's right.
And I did.
And it's also an interesting thing now of the idea of illegal immigrants is a little different bit of a plot turning point than it is used in this episode.
I thought we were clear that it was exploitation and not the fault of the immigrant.
But it isn't here, it's not that kind of show.
I'm sorry.
God, I just love that money fight. I think that money fight, whenever I think it's like, we're so poor. It's so hard for executives. Money fight.
I think of that constantly.
I didn't get as rich this year.
One final thing we forgot to mention. I feel it's incredibly important that when Bart gets his glasses, the doctor reassures him that Menachem Begin wore a pair just like them. I think I said the name wrong, but he was the 6th prime minister of Israel. And yes, Bart's glasses do look a lot like Menachem's.
They look like mine.
Well, and Menachem Begin also is a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He co-won it with Anwar Sadat of Egypt for ending the Six Days War? It was, there was a very brief war between Israel and Egypt that then they came together and ended it. And Menachem Begin was there. He was not known as an attractive man.
Just keep in mind, whenever we stumble across a name like this while watching an episode, we have to stop the train. Yeah. I have to look this up. It's my duty.
So in general, this is a feeling I had about Homer in this week's episode. I think Dan Castellaneta had a cold. Homer sounds off to me. He sounds like a little too high, a little too nasal, like Homer's living in his nose. There's not too many other Dan voices in this episode, but something just doesn't sound right about Dan.
All of my favorite scenes are slightly different tones and reads.
Yeah, when he says, Colonel Kling! Yeah. Like, it's just a little higher. Listen for it in our other clips.
It took me 20 minutes to say it. I love this episode.
Someone tweeted at Dan Castellaneta and asked him if he had a cold in April of 1993.
And I did.
but yeah, it's just something higher pitched. It always bothered me as a kid that it sounded weird every time I'd rewatch it. Or it could be this thing. I had heard the term only on the commentaries for the part two of Who Shot Mr. Burns, where they say they 10%ed it, which means they had to speed it up by 10%, a slightly imperceptible amount, but just to get as much as they can. But when you do that, everybody talks just a little bit faster. And sometimes lines are just like, whoa, that sounded weird. But
it's how I sneak episodes of Arrow on YouTube.
It's now been used by many YouTube tricksters of like, oh, then we pitch shifted it just a little bit. But like, listen how he says powdered gravy. So when he first meets Mindy, they do say they act like she is the only woman to work at the plant.
Yeah.
Obviously, Marge had worked there before. But on that episode, too, there's at least one other woman. Mm-hmm. The woman staring off into the middle distance, drinking. That is another woman at the plant. I can't think of another woman I've seen in the power plant.
In the first season, there's a ton in the background.
I remember during...
Not a ton being like... one-eighth of the workforce.
Yeah.
I remember in Homer Defined, a man was having sex with a woman in the closet during the meltdown. Oh, yeah. It's like, see you next meltdown, baby.
That's right. Yeah. There's at least one other woman.
But yeah, the Department of Labor forces Burns to hire a woman to get out of trouble, and we get Mindy.
Oh, if they hire a woman, we won't be able to spit on the floor.
And we can't take off our pants when it gets real hot.
And we won't be able to pee in the drinking fountain. Yeah, I mean, not, you know, if we wanted to, not that I ever did.
Gentlemen, I'd like you to meet your new co-worker, Mindy Simmons. I think she has a degree in engineering or something.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Yeah, ditto.
Hi.
Mama, what's the matter?
Didn't you never see a naked chick riding a clam before?
I had only seen it once in The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Yeah.
It's Uma Thurman being surrounded by angels and wrapped. And that movie's a little... Yeah, I think it would have been out in time to be referenced here.
Well, it's a reference to a classic piece of art, though,
it is,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the birth of Venus.
Venus. Yeah.
But the angels flying around the only reason I will not die on this hill.
Angels holding up thing for censorship purposes.
Yeah.
That was the old school censorship. I don't even think I loved Baron Van... Baron von Munchausen, but it was just on like HBO best. All the time as a kid.
It was
amazing. It was probably the first thing I saw Robin Williams in. And it's a really good one. I remember reading that Eric Idle said about that movie that he did it and it was a miserable shoot. And he said that everyone should see a Terry Gilliam film, but no one should be in them. They are no fun to make.
His character gets to chase down a bullet. When I was a little kid, I thought that was the coolest scene I'd ever seen. He's trying, he's faster than the Flash and can stop a bullet, but he's also 80 years old and it hurts his hands. It's such a great scene.
So the problem introduced in this episode, or the issue at hand, I feel like is a very specific and extremely down-to-earth thing to have on The Simpsons,
yeah, I think
where
so.
It's like, you're an adult, you're in the same place with someone you're incredibly attracted to all day. What do you do with those feelings? And I feel like this is a good exploration of that.
I think
it's something, I mean, I can say it's happened to me. It's not happening now. Anyone I work with, it's fine.
To TBH, it's like I worked at a Chinese restaurant and for the state and then moved out to California and immediately got like just dream jobs. I always thought I'd die in the basement of some department of labor because that's all that was in my town. So I just turned that part of my brain off. But I still think it's a surprisingly honest depiction of how...
Yeah. Homer comes out looking good. Mandy comes out looking good. They're both dealing with the same problem.
Yeah.
Work crushes just happen all the time. It's about how you deal with them. Yeah. I have definitely... The most work crush drama I ever had was at the movie theater I worked at. But that was... That's honestly because
I used to work with Hank, by the way. I was really holding that hope.
It was because everybody in the movie theater was like 23 and under. Mm-hmm. And so guess what? They all were like fucking and being stupid. Yes. And
sexy as hell.
And especially like this one guy, there was a couple there who were just like, oh, you're the couple who works together. Everybody loves you. And then that guy had sex with this one other girl there. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like everybody, but the couple still stayed together. And I was just like, oh boy, this is so awkward, and I'm stuck in the middle of a giant hate fest. But that it's also though weird to me that nobody else is into Mindy. It, like when Homer is trying to talk about how much he likes Mindy to Carl and Lenny, like they're not
care.
Like, who cares? Like I feel like
but I love
Mindy
that
as a motorcycle.
It that's not totally analogous to work, but just like groups of men where like don't upset the balance, don't rock the ecosystem of this dude thing we have going on, and that this clip emphasizes that.
What do you guys think of Mindy?
Seems okay. Anybody see the game last night?
Yeah, that Mindy seems real nice.
Homer, what's with you? You're talking during a coffee break.
Yeah, usually you just take the box of donuts into the bathroom.
Mindy has a motorcycle.
That would have been my line of the show.
Noticed that this time it was a great thing in the animators, and Homer just pours basically a cup of sugar into it and then stirs it with his finger. Mm-hmm. Like that,
I do that all the time.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm not a coffee drinker.
The long
so.
Banana
are they,
fingers.
I mean, Homer would naturally do this, but are they trying to show he's distracted by thinking of Mindy, maybe?
No, I think that's probably is how much he normally does drink, put sugar in his coffee. I just saw a picture on social media of somebody who took a box of donuts into the... Like, somebody took a picture of somebody in a separate stall who on the floor... No. They had like their coat, and then on top of the coat was the open box of donuts.
Oh.
I don't believe their pants were down around their ankles. So it was just to hide in the bathroom to eat all the donuts.
I was going to tip my hat to that fellow and just, you're the most efficient human being ever. Donut goes in, donut goes out.
It's that fast.
I think Michelle Pfeiffer does a very good job acting too. Like, she's great. And I looked into it. She is very underused as a voice actress. She's actually only been a voice in two animated projects after this, and I know them both.
None of them Disney.
Nope, but...
Titan A.E.?
Nope. DreamWorks.
Oh, God.
DreamWorks and two-dimensional.
Prince of Egypt.
Yep, that's one of them.
Damn, Bob.
I'm just guessing.
And then the one right after that.
The Rodel Dorado?
Sorry, the one after that.
Moses Goes to Town.
No, it's Sinbad.
I forgot they did that.
Oh, yeah, like
Damn.
Pitt.
Yeah, she's good in both. You forget those because that was them like, we should finance an early 90s Disney film. Then when Shrek showed up, it's like, what are we doing?
It's too expensive.
They were the Shrek machine.
I grew up in the heyday of, well, not the heyday, but the resurgence of Batman thanks to the Tim Burton movies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're thinking of rewatching them, don't.
They're
better left in your memories, with the exception of Batman Returns and Michelle Pfeiffer.
She's so good in
She's
it.
scary, sexy, weird, funny. It's fucking awesome. She is so cool in that movie.
And she has great chemistry with Michael Keaton, too. Like, yeah. She's really good. I think she's awesome in that. And she is an underrated actress, I think.
Other than that, there's like almost nothing I've seen her in. It's like Scarface and right. Oh, One Fine Day. How about that?
Nah.
Nah, no thanks. But she's great. I wish she should be doing more voice acting, and that she's playing it so well. They talk about how that she's eating the donut, she's on off mic, she is eating like celery. She's eating, but though she had just had a kid, they talked about how when they recorded it, she just had a daughter.
I can play the clip in a second, but I love the advice. Homer, that Homer has to ask Barney and Moe for advice.
The perfect summation of this episode, I feel like. And it's like just distilled in one sentence.
It's great.
Mo, I need your advice.
Yeah.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Hey! Joey Jojo! Oh, what the hell? It's me.
Joey Jojo.
I'm attracted to another woman. What am I going to do? Your infatuation is based on a physical attraction. Talk to the woman, and you'll realize you have nothing in common.
I cut off the joke there because I feel like that's where they should have cut it off.
Yeah.
Well, the joke is that it's on a bar napkin. Yeah. So, I want to say they missed the chance to put Tipsy McStagger.
Yeah.
That's not Tipsy McStagger, just some other guy.
It basically was Tipsy.
Yeah.
But Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo, it's become a easy thing to say, like when you're making up a name or you're just like, oh, I know who made that movie is Joey Jojo
Shabadoo.
I'm sure every forum online has a Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo at this point.
Though I had to double check this. I thought he was the guy who runs King Toots, but they're a different look. It's a different guy. For some reason in my head, I always assume like that's the same guy who runs King Toots from Lisa's Pony. It isn't. But
I also want to say in this episode, Homer immediately is aware of his feelings for Lurleen. Mindy. In the Lurleen episode, he is in denial the entire time. He refuses to talk about it. Well, only in the end does he come out.
He has no clue.
Yeah. Part of it is, he does have no clue.
Well, he doesn't have feelings for her initially. Like,
true.
She comes on to him.
Yeah. And I think when he just realized, like, well, I could have sex.
He's kind of regretful about, like, oh, I could have had sex.
There's a lot I forgot about this episode. Either it doesn't air in syndication or it cuts out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's surprisingly honest because Homer is almost the aggressor, but not...
Well, not totally, but it is that Lurleen, it really was just like, he only regrets, oh, I could have had sex once with you, or not even... He doesn't like, oh, I love you. Like, he's not, but...
But
with
I'm
Mindy,
at that
he's
age.
Like, I love you.
It, like, when I sometimes will, like, go out and drink with somebody and, like, you know, I was really into you, like, 7 years ago. Like, no idea. This option does not exist to me now. That's insane. Like, I have to cross-check this. I could have done that?
I want to get back to the... My line of the show is when Bart comes to school and is a nerd. And this was the one that... struck at my heart hard, and it was also this was me saying that to the TV, realizing that I am a nerd, and also the way my mom, I just remember my mom laughed at it almost too much. I was like, though this could all just be built up in my memory.
Is all so great. There's another joke from The Simpsons I thought I liked more, but it's all predicated here with something Martin says. And it ends with both Bart and Milhouse seeing each other and their glasses.
I love that scene.
This would have been my line of the show if not for the thing I love so much.
Okay.
Nice glasses, Four Eyes.
Yeah, nice shoes. 2 feet.
Your appearance is comical to me. I'm a nerd. So am I.
I like Nelson's accepting grunt when he... It kind of backs away from the joke. Yeah. It's more Mr. Burns, I'm sorry.
What was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that Milhouse never realized to this point he is a nerd. Yeah. And just like a nerd.
Much later he realizes he's not a nerd because nerds are smart.
Yeah, that's true. he's more of a dweeb.
Yeah, I had that revelation too.
When they get to the nerd club, that's also when I've realized that. But just that just them seeing it. It's such a great end to that of like, so am I. Like, just them seeing each other in their glasses. It's so great.
Yeah.
Though, let me tell you, a lazy eye is not fixed by 2 weeks of wearing special glasses. He'd have to wear an eye patch, much more humiliating than glasses.
Not if you grow out a kick-ass beard. Oh, you can't do that either.
What, as a 10-year-old? No. Again, this was a punch in the gut. Like, I was 11 watching this. And, like, here's parts. 1 year younger than me, like, oh, this is me. I am a nerd.
Like, yeah, but at least nerds can grow up and get good jobs. Mm-hmm. People like me and Bart are fucked.
You're going to be pumping my gas.
Yeah. Like, no. The second the Patreon runs out, I'm out there bagging your groceries.
No,
robots do that now, Chris.
Oh, God damn it!
But a lot of jocks just go and get a BA in, like, money and just become your boss.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm a project manager.
And they're loud and confident enough to do whatever they want.
Yep. Yeah,
but Homer tries
and
to.
Oh, the beatings of Bart are so cool. Yes. They are so harsh. That is Merkin thing in general.
But the sounds are so comedic. Yeah, what I like.
They are comedic, but if you just think of the force on how fast they're punching.
No, but it has like Western bar fart noises.
Well, Bart never really shows the damage, yeah. So you don't feel as bad. But
the other one bruise.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Wanted to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel, premium, delightful mystery box featuring 6 to 8 items and an exclusive shirt. We always refer to Geek Fuel like a birthday present you give yourself or as a gift to a loved one every single month because Geek Fuel is all about brightening up your day once a month with cool goodies featuring your favorite stuff like Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Pop Figs, Zelda, Halo, Star Trek, Ghostbusters, Doctor Who, Game of Thrones, Futurama. The list goes on and on, ranging from pint glasses, cards, posters, shirts, comic books. And each box is guaranteed to contain $50 worth of stuff, and Geek Boxes start for as little as $14 plus shipping and handling. If that weren't enough, you can go to geekfuel.com/lasertime and receive a bonus Star Wars item worth $20 absolutely free. If you're looking to put a pep in your geeky step, consider Geek Fuel, and if you want that free Star Wars item, head to geekfuel.com/lasertime. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
The first clip here is an episode of Golden Girls. Comes back from break, and mm-hmm. it's Estelle Getty sitting on the couch watching TV, and this was just funny, like, the terminology she uses here. I'm like,
you call that wrestling, you pansy? If you can't take a crutch slam like a man, get out of the business.
Damn.
Just get out of the business is such a like modern phrase. Yeah. Like that she knows it's all fake and is just like, this guy sucks.
The dirt sheets were wrong.
Yes, like
terrible.
And it just
his work rate is bad.
Yes, like that she's judging it on this meta level of like, oh, this specific wrestling joke. And it's just like an
when
in
he
and
turned
out.
Face, no pop. No pop at all.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again. Homer tries to figure out how little in common he has with Mindy and fails miserably.
I think we'll find we have very little in common.
Can't talk. Eating.
Hey, my favorite. Raspberry swirl with a double glaze.
Double glaze.
No. Okay, so we have one thing in common. But you know what I hate? Drinking beer and watching TV.
Oh, not me. That's my idea of heaven.
Me too.
Really? I can see I'm gonna love working with you. Well, gotta go. I wanna sneak in a quick nap before lunch.
Oh, temptress. I'll bet you think Ziggy's gotten too preachy too.
I mean, unfairly, the universe is sort of smashing them together, as we'll see. And then we learn that Homer is
better
off. You
don't have to explain Ziggy, right?
No, no.
I mean, I definitely heard of Ziggy, but actually my local newspaper did not carry Ziggy.
Mine didn't either.
Too controversial for Florida.
But my father had like the most 70s Ziggy book of all time. It was like one of the first things I could pick up off my parents' bookshelf and read. So,
well, by the 90s, Ziggy was too preachy, so it wasn't cool anyway. If I read him on like, I don't know, when my family was on vacation and I was reading another state's newspaper and Ziggy was in there, I was like, eh, what's so special? Like, I never was pushed to get a Ziggy collection, and I owned many comic strip collections.
I was obsessed with it.
Garfield Choose the Fet.
Yes.
Garfield putting it on.
I think everything up till book 24 of Garfield.
I at least had 20, And then Foxtrot, Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes. But Kathy, Ziggy, I love because the art can be amazing from time to time.
It can be,
And I will say, since it's December, according to this episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Ziggy's Gift is one of the best Christmas specials people have ever seen. Yeah. It's on YouTube in its entirety. Harry Nilsson does the music. And Richard Williams, who does the animation for Thief and the Cobbler, and
perhaps the greatest,
Roger Rabbit,
perhaps the greatest American animator of our generation, if maybe ever.
So, like, I don't need to rail on this again because this is the wrong show, but that, like, after the Peanuts Christmas special, every single Sunday strip got launched with a holiday special.
Yep,
they all got a shot, as did Ziggy, and Ziggy's is needlessly beautiful because he doesn't talk.
I think every Ziggy comic strip is Ziggy's gift to the world.
It's really good.
I identify with Ziggy because every day he gets owned by a bird, and that's my life. Birds love to troll you. It's totally true.
Meanwhile, Mindy must have either an incredible metabolism or she just goes to the gym all the time because she cannot do all those things.
I think this is partially to make all of us more attracted to Mindy, too. Like,
I mean, yeah.
What a test of will.
Though you do have to wonder, I mean, I think she just has daddy issues and that's why she likes Homer. Like,
how young
know.
Is Mindy? Do we think like mid 20s? I don't know. 30? Yeah, who knows?
She has an engineering degree.
Yeah. I think early 30s.
She's dumb, so it couldn't have been like a Doogie Howser situation.
Or maybe 28. She could be like 28. Late 20s, I feel like a woman in her 30s would still be like, look, I've been around the block a while. I'm not going to get with a married man. Like, she'd just say, like, I've got lots of takers out there. I don't need to be with a married guy. But I think it's daddy issues.
So lovely feeling, though. For tubby, unattractive old people, that someday someone who looks like Mindy might be accidentally attracted to you.
And I definitely didn't get the innuendo in the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that shit was crazy.
Gotta go.
I have to play this for,
I guess we'll be going down together. I mean, getting off together. I mean...
That's okay. I'll just push the button for the stimulator. I mean elevator.
That when he rips open the door and slides, is the like the best cartoon moment ever, and more rare than you'd think on The Simpsons.
Yeah, it definitely has a nerdy kid. I said, like, there's no way that elevator is next to the... There's no elevator next to the cooling tower.
Why is there a stop on the cooling tower?
Yes.
And they're both taking that elevator to avoid one another because they're both very attracted to one another.
And I had to put, because I love Barney and this makes me laugh. That's Homer trying to think unsexy thoughts. It's Patty and Selma shaving their legs, followed by Barney in a bikini dancing that song and
you're really just
belching. But it's, if you didn't know, it's the I Dream of Jeannie song.
Yeah. It's an uncredited Hanna-Barbera animation.
Bob thought it was Bewitched. Mike thought it was Bewitched.
I did.
Telling you. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
was me.
My bad.
Yeah, it was Chris.
Sorry.
Fuck him.
Oh, Bob under the bus. Because you're going to need to know 60s and 70s sitcoms.
Very soon, yes.
I love the gross family portion.
It's a great way that the family lets him down by just, but not... Not but, even let's... They're all innocent.
It's not a personal affront to Homer.
I feel so bad for Marge that she just has to be ugly for this scene. Or they have to, like, not ugly, but she has to be unattractive just through having a cold.
Yeah, Mindy is this ideal for Homer, and he comes home to reality.
His family, she has, like, hasn't hurt him or... Like,
but guess what?
Made him bankrupt. They kind of just—he came home and his whole family shit themselves.
Yes, like, they're just all in a bad shape.
Ah, home to my loving family. What more could a man ask for?
Hi, Homer. Don't kiss me. I'm all stuffed up.
Yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, son. How are you?
Dad, look, I made fish sticks. They're burned on the outside, but they're frozen on the inside, so it balances out.
Yeah, good. That raccoon stole my lamb chop!
We also...
Raccoon is Santa's little helper.
We also see the t-shirt Marge got made that was ruined.
Yeah.
And during my first E3 in 2011, my very first E3, I was working in our little workroom, and I saw one of my peers, an IGN Australia guy, had that shirt on, and I was like, I've made it. I'm living it up.
Beautiful. It's like something our buddy Bart of Darkness
makes. I think Bart of Darkness has also made that. Or I've seen that shirt on Etsy. I'm not sure who made it.
I have never been happier with my High Man t-shirt.
Yes. I love mine, too. I love them all. Thanks, Bart of Darkness.
Thank you so much, Bart of Darkness.
The acting by Castellaneta there, I'm like, yeah. Just him trying to be nice to Lisa.
This episode is amazing.
The acting is really great. This is just a great episode. And you don't have a clip of it, but the Just Do It thing, the animators really, they're like, okay, I'm drawing the best ass. And it's just full ass. Like, I guess technically it's just a hyper thong and for workout clothes.
I mean, I used to make jokes. This is like, you know, I'm a little kid. Like, why wouldn't I just draw this stuff for myself all the time? And it turns out a lot of animators do. And if they don't, but they sell their work at Comic-Con, that's what they end up drawing anyway, on commission.
I think it's important to note, I feel like Homer would be more insensitive to his family suffering all these problems, but he's coming home thinking like, no, I love my family. I'm going to be very nice to my family who I love. I'm not going to cheat on Marge.
I wouldn't leave this family for anyone. And I also want to get real quick on the Kent Brockman brings up everybody's affairs, like all these presidents' affairs, and didn't make them great. So Kennedy and Clinton have too many affairs to name. So. Oh, yeah. But when they said Eisenhower and H.W. Bush, those were surprises to me. I didn't really know. So Eisenhower's was Kay Summersby, who was his assistant before he became president back in World War II. And he did have an affair with her on his wife in World War II. But then she had married by the time he was president. So they didn't really do anything together. Meanwhile, H.W., was with Jennifer Fitzgerald, his personal assistant for decades, and was like in the 70s and 80s.
I didn't hear about this.
See, this was a point Hillary brought up in like 92, and everybody's like, all they're bringing up is Jennifer Flowers. Don't you know that HW also had been cheating on his wife the whole time? And nobody cared then either, which again, like, you don't want to think about HW ever having sex. Like, at least with Bill, you're like, oh, Bill, Slick Willie, always with the smooth talk.
Rock hard prudence.
And then lastly, Lincoln's affairs were actually all supposedly homosexual. There's not any woman he's connected to.
I read Weekly World News. Yes. I know.
There was a man named Speed. I believe it was Joshua Speed that he was. The idea
a man
that,
named John Wilkes Booth.
According to the Gettysburg Address, he scored 4 times 7 years ago. So I guess they were all gay encounters.
The reason it's unsubstantiated is just like people say, he has these letters about sleeping in bed with these other men. But then people say, well, no, in the 1860s or 1850s, this was just guy code of like, well, I guess we're sharing a bed. We are two men. This is what men do.
I thought it was like there's no central heating and we live in log cabins.
Let's
merge beards.
The definition of homosexuality that we know today wasn't a thing in 1850s America.
That was
so even if he was fucking this Speed dude, they would be just like, it's just what men do on trips.
Gotta fuck something.
But that he seemed more into it and that he was... He spent a long time away from Mary Todd, and there's some other like suspect letters of like, sounds like you kissed this guy. Like, this is weird. So those were the affairs of the other people named in there. So obviously Kennedy just had sex with everybody. Bill Clinton has like 18 ones you can't name. And this was even before anybody knew about. They did this joke just when Jennifer Flowers was the famous one, but there were like, I believe, several other women who said, oh no, I was also his girlfriend. I was a secret girlfriend.
Can you imagine Kennedy's big puffy face going down on you?
I hear him going to give you an orgasm. I'm doing my best Quimby. God damn it. All right, so more nostalgia that I don't
here
have.
Here we go, yes. Yeah. So Homer... It's a great joke that Homer calls Ned on the marriage hotline. They should have done more with that, honestly. Like, Ned knowing that Homer is thinking of cheating on Marge. Mm-hmm. But so that he's knocked unconscious. He's visited by his guardian angel, who is somebody he doesn't recognize at first.
Isaac Newton, right?
Yeah. And then he has to transform into someone he does recognize.
I am not explaining Isaac Newton to you.
Who are you?
He discovered Elvis.
I'm your guardian angel. I've assumed the form of someone you would recognize and revere. Sir Isaac Newton.
Sir Isaac who?
Oh, very well.
Colonel Clink!
Did you ever get my letters?
I'm not actually Colonel Klink. I'm just assuming his form.
Did you know Hogan had tunnels all over your camp?
Homer!
Chris, I barely get this.
You got to play that death jingle.
Oh, no! This is another time for the death jingle.
Werner!
Death stalks you at every turn! Ah, there it is! Death!
Werner Klemperer, I think you say his name. He died in 2000. He did play Colonel Klink. They got the real dude, and we'll talk about Hogan's Heroes now. Who wants to start? Because I don't have much to say.
So,
this is a reference I don't really get.
I mean, we've both seen Autofocus. So
I mean, I've seen Autofocus, and I saw some of this on Nick at Night, but like, I never
liked that show as a kid, Hogan's Heroes.
I never liked many of those shows.
It was a lame-o show.
My theory about Hogan's Heroes is it was made for WW2 vets who were not allowed to talk about their problems and the horrors they saw. So shows like this were therapy for them in a way.
They have to laugh through their pain. Yeah.
While you're sitting in a puddle of your own scotch.
Well, so the interesting thing about Werner Klemperer is, one, he is the son of one of the most famous composers of his generation, Otto Klemperer,
really?
Who was a famous German composer who then of Jewish descent.
Oh, yeah.
So you could bet in 1935, with his fame and fortune, he got the fuck out of Germany and moved to America. That was Werner, grew up in L.A. or in California. He got interested in acting. It appeared in multiple things. But unfortunately, as a man of German descent of people making films and TV then, they're like, well, obviously you're going to play an evil German. They're like, he was in the U.S. Army, but in the entertainment division. But he joined the army in World War II. He was on our side. And then but when it's time to cast him in acting, he becomes a famous Nazi. And he only agreed to it, apparently he said that he would do it, but only if Klink was always wrong and a buffoon. He can never be good at his job or a good Nazi. Huh. So,
well, that's what the thing I found more shocking is that outside of maybe the recent Dragnet parody, they haven't brought on an actor to play their old role, like kayfabe in the Simpsons universe. Like that has not happened yet.
And the idea that, like, also, on Hogan's Heroes, you're supposed to like Hogan or one of the Americans. Homer's
say what Hogan's Heroes is about?
Homer's favorite character being Klink is just
I never
weird
thought of that.
And
that's
that he
awesome.
Sent letters to him.
Name three Hogan's Heroes characters. I can name Klink and Hogan just on a guess.
Schultz.
On a whim.
Oh, yeah. Schultz from the Germans episode. So I have a clip of Werner Klemperer back in the day, but not from Hogan's Heroes, but from a less seen appearance.
These short back climbs are harder than the longer ones.
It takes a while to unlimber your muscles, Robin. It's all good training. Colonel, what are you doing here in Gotham City?
I am looking for an underground agent.
One of ours or one of yours?
And why the exposition hall at the Coliseum?
Who knows? You never know where you might find one.
Be careful not to get picked up. Chief O'Hara can be very tough with aliens incognito.
Incognito? With my monocle?
Well, say hello to Colonel Hogan for us.
It's a wonder he hasn't tried to borrow your bathrobe to pull another one of his escapes.
Batman should have arrested that Nazi.
This is so good. Yeah. I'm so happy right now.
Can we please boot up the Hogan's Heroes theme song? I have one thing to say about it. It does sound a lot like The Great Escape.
So that was from Batman 66. It was something you barely ever see in the syndicated version. They would just advertise other shows on ABC by having them appear in the walking up building.
It was like a commercial. It was
the Munsters did it too.
Yeah. It was like Adam's Family did it. Basically.
Or maybe it was the Addams Family, not Munsters. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So here's the Hogan's Heroes theme. It sounds a lot like the Great Escape theme. So my crappy high school marching band knew three songs. One was the alma mater. One was our fight song. And song number three was the Hogan's Heroes theme song. So you would hear all of those songs every halftime. I went to a lot of high school football games because it was Ohio.
Wow.
So just...
And he's in his second build. This is amazing because this is another one of those situations where, like, this is not my nostalgia. This is me learning about the previous generation's nostalgia through writers like The Simpsons.
That was so weird of Homer. Explain
what Hogan's Heroes is?
Actually, I have a great clip for that, too.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite explainer of what Hogan's Heroes is by one Gilbert Gottfried.
By Dr. Katz.
Yes.
Who was the guy who was able to sell Hogan's Heroes to a network?
I mean, who was able to walk into a network one day and go, okay, here's the idea. A group of soldiers held in a Nazi prison camp. It's a comedy! That's interesting. Tell me more. Well,
okay,
you see, these soldiers are imprisoned by the Nazis behind barbed wire, and if they try to escape, they'll be shot. I love it. It's a laugh riot.
Yeah, that is Hogan's Heroes, a situation comedy set in a German POW camp.
It is a show Homer would love, like Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah. Exactly, and it was... The comedy was of Hogan and the other guys always getting one over on the Nazis, and that they actually had, as Homer said, secret tunnels everywhere, all these things. Like, they weren't even really the captives. They were there to send intel around. But it's still... In the film Autofocus, which is really just about Bob Crane being a sex pervert with Willem Dafoe, Hogan's Heroes is about 30 minutes of the film, and one of my favorite bits in it is when he's, like, Bob Crane in the film, at least, did not want to do Hogan's Heroes. They were all just like, this can't be popular, it's about Nazis, and... He's being interviewed by a reporter played by Ed Begley Jr., who then just, like, asks two questions as, like, I'm Jewish, fuck you. Like, I'm out of here. It's just like,
I don't think you could do that now. I don't know how
they
got away
with it back
then. How could
Batman even just be like, well, I guess you're a Nazi. You might want to go.
If you Google Colonel Klink, the first two videos that come up are Batman and the Simpsons before Hogan's Heroes anything, but it's just him playing Colonel Klink. That's so weird.
And every episode of Hogan's Heroes, I think, is just on YouTube. Nobody cares to keep it. It's not remembered fondly by anyone.
No.
I feel like only maybe F Troop is more of a, like, let's not look at this anymore.
Oh, yeah, with all the Jewish men playing Indians, or Native Americans.
But but Klink is there to be Homer's Clarence the Angel and show him what life would be like if he wasn't married to Marge. And this is a wonderful encapsulation of it all. He whisks them in the air over to a mansion where Homer lives with Mindy.
I'm so happy, darling.
I as well. Are you happy, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Yes. And Marge is president, too.
Marge is president.
And I feel like they missed a joke. There could have been a Marge is president joke, but they just show you the exterior shot. That's
it. I feel like there was a different joke.
Yeah,
there.
It feels like something was cut out.
They just had to redo it. Same with Ziggy's gotten too preachy, too. The mouth movements is off enough. I was like, that's a replacement, but a good replacement. A really funny one that doesn't leave me asking, what was the old joke? Like, but that Homer, I like how when Homer's rich, he has kind of like his eye up a little, like he's smiling with his cheek over his eyes. Like, then we're all happy.
Henry's getting to you, though.
So he failed, and he just sends him back, and we get a nice moment of Lionel Hutz just like, hey, get out of my office. Just a nice light dusting
of
Phil Hartman. Yeah. Yes. And then we're back to Nerd Town.
Finally, Bart's one of us.
Excelsior! I didn't get the Excelsior reference until much later.
Doing a podcast with Henry for 200 episodes.
So, yes, in case you weren't aware, I had a previous podcast I used to do that was a weekly comic book podcast called Cape Crisis. And
still should have been called Hulk Dick. I maintain that.
And I would close each Cape Crisis by saying Excelsior, which was really just supposed to be a reference to Stan Lee. It's how Stan Lee would end his Stan Soapbox weekly thing he'd do every month.
Excelsior. That was a reference to the packing material.
No.
but then when I saw this again, I was like, it's a perfect thing for a nerd club to say, which is what a comic book podcast is. It is a nerd club. And so it's
short-lived, barely remembered Stan Lee television.
I wish they had done more with the,
those scenes
with
are
the
amazing.
Nerd club. Like, they just kind of drop it after that. But it's a great little joke. The only thing I'd change now is the guy who gets prune juice. Yeah. That should just be Database. It is the Database voice.
I was shocked that Database wasn't there.
Well, we don't meet him for another year. So he's season 6 in Bart's Comet.
Why prune juice? I mean, I know it's kind of gross and weird, but like, I don't get it.
I mean, that feels like
Kate Martin regular.
It is an old dork joke. Same with like pocket protectors. It just hadn't been updated.
It's a stock like ancient nerd joke.
Yeah, actually, that joke was so prevalent. I don't know what prune juice tastes like.
It would have just been Mountain Dew. Like, nerds would just, like, that's a joke. Yeah. But that's also what cool kids drink, so they
fetch
wouldn't
have
Mountain Dew and Little Caesars.
But I like that there was a mix of kids who could do, who were doing extra credit projects, but then also kids like, no, I'm just building the Star Trek, building Starship Enterprise. Like, I'm not cool either.
Remember being
smart.
That accurate in Enterprise being on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And if you're a real dork, that's an animation cell you gotta track down.
And though now that bit is a little less funny because it's like, oh, this is a club of boys, the kind of place where a lot of angry feelings come together.
So you're saying
days.
This is like this is Crawl Space 4chan.
There has to be at least one guy in there who's just like, I mean, look, women just are different from men, and
they're holding us down. Yeah. So
I've gone Vol Cell.
Homer writes a giant speech on his hand. Do we have that?
No.
Okay. Well, first he sings about Mindy.
Yeah. Mindy, okay.
Oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking, but I sent you Ben Gay, oh, Andy. Huh. You kissed me and stopped me from something, and I... Uh-oh.
Dad, why are you singing?
Tell a lie. Because I have a small role in a Broadway musical. It's not much, but it's a start. Bravo.
It's my favorite thing ever. His brain slow clapping.
Yeah, even though presumably his brain came up with the I don't know. But
that isn't even the, like, that's kind of a smart-ish, like, that's, it's a clever, dumb thing of Homer's.
It's a witty rejoinder, but it's not an answer. And I like, I don't know how to feel, like, Lisa's, like, is frowning when she's like, or a man named Andy. Like, she's like,
well,
is she grossed out by that, or just skeptical,
maybe
or what?
Like, I think she's just skeptical, like, no, Dad, you're not in love with a man named Andy, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's just her. Though that was a reference to the Barry Manilow song,
indeed,
Mandy, which
yes.
I have a little clip of.
I see a memory I never realized. How happy you made me, oh, Mandy. Well, you came and you gave with a baby. But I sent you away, oh, Mandy. Will you kiss me and stop?
This song is terrible.
It is. And I
so
feel
those are the real lyrics.
I feel like in the 90s, everyone was getting over their shame of having liked Barry Manilow in the 70s and 80s.
He
was a constant target of jokes in the 90s.
He was, but I'm back there with, that song is awful.
Yeah.
I've never really heard it before.
Now, if you never heard it before, those are the real lyrics that Homer is mixing up there.
I did have one dumb note that I thought was really weird, but just, I saw, after we talked to Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, they're fans of the show. And in this episode, for the first time ever, Marge walks through a doorway and her hair gets caught and it's got its own Foley work.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Are you sure it hasn't been on like that before?
It's well within frame.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know why, season 5, episode 9, this is when you make that joke.
Interesting.
It is right when she walks in the room to tell Bart he's done with his glasses,
and
dermatologist gel.
He throws off his shoes, and that's when they pray for giant shoes.
Did anyone
pray
for giant shoes?
That's right. Though, I thought, not unlike how Ned knows that Homer is infatuated with another woman, Lisa knows too, but nothing comes of that either. Like, that, I guess she could just assume, I don't know, Lisa's not stupid. Okay.
Everybody has to learn the hard way. Do not go around singing the name of the girl you're having an affair with. Never do that. Eventually it'll all come together for your lady, like Kaiser Soze.
And then came all the writing on the hand bit, which, so I guess Lenny is in love with a man named Max. This is the only time this has ever been mentioned before, that he did something to Max out of pain and alcohol.
Maybe it's not love, Henry. You make everything so gay all
the
time.
You're right.
Come on,
I,
Henry. That was a comment we got. I'm just kidding.
It felt like that Lenny... It also just felt like a joke they would have made, like, Lenny is secretly gay.
Yeah.
Like that. That just felt like where they're going, well, meanwhile, the man with the giant hand...
I love that joke.
He had appeared one other time that I can recall after
really?
This.
Really? After, okay.
Homer wants to throw the donut in the reactor to make it bigger, and then the guy says, yeah, I did the same thing with my hand. And normal hand is up like, oh, I meant the other one. And then he falls over.
Is that a much later episode?
It's like season 9 or 10. It's where Homer breaks the plant by throwing the donut in the thing, and then when they find it, they fire Homer, and it's definitely a Scully season 1, but I can't remember exactly. Oh, it might be he becomes a truck driver because he kills that guy.
Yeah, in the steak eating contest.
Yeah,
but the
whatever.
Line, I'm sweating like Roger Ebert, made me sad, because I was like, oh, he's been dead for 4 years. I miss him so much.
I miss Roger Ebert. It was just a fat joke, Roger Ebert. Like, I miss when you could just make fat jokes at him instead of just like, no, he went through horrible cancer for about 5-6 years.
Yeah, I don't know. If you watch the his movie
Life Itself,
it's amazing.
It will destroy you.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of the best documentaries.
I mean, it's great, but it will kill you.
I don't know. I love that man. I love that movie.
The most interesting thing to me on that was the connection found between Gene Siskel's wife and Roger Ebert's wife, both like, oh, now we've both lost husbands to cancer.
Yeah.
We were both connected like that. And yeah, it's Life Itself, it will kill you. But the Homer's friendship with her then makes them get sent together.
In a wonderfully contrived moment.
It's all so contrived for the next, 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's great how contrived it is.
It's one of the many things of Burns seeing something on a monitor and completely misreading it. We'll see that in the next episode, which is why I got these episodes confused in terms of how Burns is used.
And it's also why Homer became a comedian.
Exactly.
There's so many times this season of just like...
Who is that man?
Yeah. Burns looks at a monitor and like, I have an idea.
It makes like an irrational choice.
If you ever hung out with a terrible executive,
I'm paying attention
to this right now. This is all that matters.
After they have their money fight, they then look and make a quick snap judgment.
Yeah.
Simpson, Simmons, you two have been chosen to represent us at the National Energy Convention. Congratulations. You'll be spending 2 nights together in glamorous Capital City.
Wow. Capital City. The Windy Apple.
Come on, I'll get you the tickets.
Oh, this is the worst crisis my marriage has ever faced. Colonel Clink! Why have you forsaken me?
What is it? Do you have a question?
Did you know Kinch had a radio in the coffee pot?
He did.
I like that now Colonel Clink is invested in Hogan's Heroes.
So good. I love this.
Yeah.
He has stopped pretending to not be his guardian angel anymore and just like, I am Colonel Clink. And that it's just further contrivances to get Mindy and Homer together. I wonder why they didn't do... This was the time I realized that Simmons and Simpson are one letter apart, but they don't do anything. Yeah.
Well,
that,
is she related to B. Simmons from the Grandpa in Love episode?
She should be her granddaughter.
Yeah.
I that's going to be my headcanon now.
And then we get to my favorite line in the entire show. Oh, God.
That's the joke.
The bellboy in the suite.
Hate this guy.
TV's there, bathroom's there, and there's your king-size bed for...
Hubba hubba.
Stop that. I love my wife and family. All I'm going to use this bed for is sleeping, eating, and maybe building a little fort.
Stop that.
Stop that is my favorite part.
It's great. And I really feel like the writers are making fun of Conan. This vamping he's doing is very Conan-like.
You are so right.
And I feel like they're just taking a shot at Conan after he leaves the show.
I think you're right.
I really read this as Conan.
And
like,
then they then
not
punch
shutting
him in
up.
The face.
That was a lot of PG sex noises.
Yeah.
Whenever I've gone to a hotel on like a business trip, I know at least once I thought free mouthwash and free, but not every place has a shower curtain. Actually, most places I go to now are just like a sliding door. No shower curtain you can just steal. And then them using room service is one of my all-time favorite Simpsons gags of just...
Continue the research.
That could work any time. It is not tied to this episode at all, but just the idea of Burns makes the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz. They can't fly, and they just all die. Like, they just all just smash on the ground.
This is one of the things I'm pretty sure was cut out for syndication for me. I didn't have that vivid a memory of this at all. And it's a Wizard of Oz reference I would have got.
It's
from
an
the
easy
moment
scene
I saw
to cut
it.
Because it affects nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Even though it's hilarious, and also flying monkeys, that's the only kind of references that Captain America gets in the Avengers.
Mm. I understood that reference.
I understood that one.
And I do like how one of the turkeys fell behind the bed. They're eating like a buffet on their bed together.
There's no way she can't gain weight for that. Homer's shirt explodes
and
from fatness.
At this point, do they have the Lady and the Tramp chili dog kiss?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then that was a great moment too of like the callback of the shirt.
Yeah.
He's wearing the shirt as an undershirt. And then it is just Julie Kavner's, but coming out of that machine.
The floor scrubber,
The floor scrubber, the imagery
is
great.
It's an omen.
And then then they're at the energy thing. I love that Homer is just so ready to just throw that brick at a guy. The guy goes, ouch. And When did Hans Moleman know how to run like solar power? Like,
that's his job.
Fossil fuels uses and nobody gets hurt.
He's 31 years old, Henry. He's a young businessman.
Fossil fuels has only gotten meaner since 1993.
Yeah. And I never noticed that Mindy and Homer were sitting at a table with Burns' book, Will There Ever Be a Rainbow?
And Smiling Joe Fishin is in a picture with Burns behind them. That's all animators. Like, that's all animators.
I just like attribute that to like when talking to Oakley that like he was already a fan of the show.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Probably wanted to reference
something. I could tell they put that in there.
But just a great idea that at the nuclear power plant, when they're showing it off at the energy convention, of course Burns would be like, no, you have that picture of me with Smiling Joe Fishin, and then you try to sell my book there, and that the Will There Ever Be a Rainbow still being there. And so, here's an animation mistake. Sorry, I keep interrupting
you,
Bob. I'm sorry. But here's an animation mistake I just noticed this time. When the spotlight gets on them, they get shadowed, but Homer and Mindy have the shadow on them the entire shot.
Oh, okay.
So they are animated as if they are being spotlit the entire time they're behind the desk. I hope some Korean was fired for that.
Who directed this? Well, so they get crowned Queen and King of Energy.
Which makes no sense.
Yes, and they go do dinner at Madame Chow's.
The sexiest Chinese restaurant in the capital city.
The joke Madame Chow is food, right?
Is that the joke? Oh, wow.
It's not a great joke, but...
Yeah, I never got that.
What's funny is Mindy saying, I'm so glad they made those cheeseburgers, or they could make us cheeseburgers. They didn't eat Chinese food there.
Yeah,
the Chinese food restaurant I worked at in the South also made cheeseburgers and hot wings.
I think the wings are there for the people that go and don't eat Chinese food.
Yep. Well, when I was a little kid, when I was the age of this show, like, I'd never been to a Chinese restaurant before. Like... Mm. The idea of Chinese food just sounded like space food, or like, what even is
I remember
this?
My boss,
it's so
like,
crazy.
Yeah, no one else delivers cheeseburgers and wings. I'll fucking do it.
My town
was so shitty and I was so sheltered, I did not eat Chinese food until I was 17 years old.
Damn.
Yeah.
That might have been when I did it too, but then when I discovered like Chinese buffets were my favorite, like they replaced down-home country time buffets for me. It's just like... I love country time buffets like Golden Corral, which are awful. They're just like slop buckets.
Yeah, Fox Worley told me they was daggum awesome.
But at China buffets, you would still get the same slop, but it was like, oh, but rice. And I can have...
That means it's healthy.
And I can pour sweet and sour sauce over these fried...
Healthy.
Healthy General Tso's chicken.
Yeah. Exactly. I love Chinese buffets.
After the dinner, I think Homer and Mindy are kind of resigned to have sex with each other. Like, I guess we have to.
It's a really...
Everything is pointing in this direction.
It's a really fun moment. The cookie told them to.
Yeah.
As well.
When I like the way Mindy looks at him over the drink, she's just like, oh, I guess we are going to have sex. I feel like, especially in the Lurleen episodes, you didn't get that kind of introspective moment with the object of his affection. It's
right.
You get to at least see what Mindy is thinking about and feeling in that scene. It's nice. And so she doesn't want to do it either. Well, she does, but she knows it's not right. She doesn't want to break up a marriage or sleep with a married man.
Well, I guess you'll want to come in.
Okay.
Okay.
This was a really nice night, Homer.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong?
Oh, yeah, like you don't know. We're going to have sex.
Oh, well, we don't have to.
Yes, we do. The cookie told me so.
Well, desserts aren't always right.
But they're so sweet.
Homer, you don't have to do anything you don't want to.
Well, maybe I want to. But then I think about Marge and the kids. Well, not the boy. He drives me nuts. Sometimes I just like to...
Homer, you know how I feel. So it's up to you.
I really like... It just felt like a...
It's really good. It's very sweet.
Yeah, it felt like a really quiet, serious moment in a Norman Lear sitcom for a bit.
It does feel like the James Earl Brooks rubbing off on them a bit.
I think that's what Merkin was going to, too. He did want this to be a realer episode about Homer contemplating, cheating on her, contemplating an affair.
I think they both come out looking pretty good. They are both aware of what's happening. They both want to do this, but they know they shouldn't.
They don't look like monsters.
Yeah, and I think
at the same time.
Maybe this is like a tiny smidgen of cheating, but I like that they have a nice like kiss at the end. It's just like, let's just, I don't know how to classify this or anything, but I feel like it's a great way to end that.
Yeah, at least, or begin something if they were going to.
Yeah. And once you seal it with just a peck on the lips, you're legally obligated to use that in your fantasies forever. Forever.
So
that's going right in the spank bank.
Were you fooled at all? On first viewing, did you think it wasn't Marge and that was it was Mindy and the Negligee?
After that, we see Homer contemplating something and figuring out what needs to be done, and then we just see...
And they're in the same hotel room.
In the same hotel room, and then someone from the neck down and a negligee...
Yeah, though the body shape is definitely Marge's, not Mindy's, which is slightly
different.
First
time they made Marge less sexy than any woman on the Simpsons.
I know.
We hear our buddy Barry White from Whacking Day.
This is so
cool. Oh, Margie, you came and you found me a turkey on my vacation away from worky.
Hubba, hubba.
Yeah, that guy should get out of that room.
But that is very good.
The eye acting is great.
Right before that, they played "Can't Get Enough of Your Love," which was, I think, probably even the exact same track that he.
I'm pretty
recorded
sure it was the Whacking Day track.
Yeah, but the eye acting, Carlos Baezo was the director.
Oh, you're right. We should mention him definitely.
And the eye and Frank Mula the writer, but the eye acting on, you could tell the guy was moving his eyes. The way he was when he did that acting, I'm like, hubba, hubba. Like,
you could tell where the head was.
Yeah,
all
it was,
that.
It was
very
really
solidly
good.
Built.
Yeah. Good use of just single eyes. And I feel a little bad that Marge was none the wiser, but I guess Homer has nothing to admit to.
Is this the one that Homer tells Marge about in the clip show?
So I did want to go to that, too. So in less than a year, we will be at another Simpsons clip show. The worst clip show they ever did. So,
they even acknowledge it in the show itself.
Yeah, within the show. They hate this episode. They're like, don't even watch this. And it's where they all remember their different love stories. Bart, Lisa, Marge, and Homer all tell different stories of their love life, which really just lets you do clips from multiple episodes that all had to do with love. Though it's a very weird idea of like, well, as long as we're talking about love... I, Marge, will now tell the story of when I almost had sex with my bowling teacher. and then Homer's like, well, as long as we're talking about love, I'll tell a story about the time I slept with someone else. The best time to tell you is in front of these children.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot because I watched that episode when I got the DVDs once and I never watched it again.
No way. Never.
And I would avoid it in syndication too, which is bad.
We will watch it for this.
We have to.
We're going
to
do it. Yeah. But so Homer does say, Marge says, what happened to this Mindy? And Homer says she hit the bottle pretty bad and lost her job. Now, that's not what happens, though, because she does appear in Mountain of Madness at the employee retreat. Mindy is there.
Oh, wow.
And actually, Zootroy is mentioned, too, but just mentioned. You don't see him on screen, but if you remember when Smithers is pairing up people, he says, someone and Zootroy.
Oh, you're right.
And that
right.
was totally an Oakley and Weinstein, like, giving a crap
that's
about
awesome.
Their history. So,
I like that because I don't want... I feel like it's the show punishing Mindy for wanting to sleep with Homer, just like they sort of punished Lurleen. You know, I spent last night in a ditch.
Yeah, a little too mean.
It's not very fair to Mindy, but...
But that... So Mindy did keep a job. That whole episode, the clip show episode, is non-canonical. It did not happen.
Nope.
Don't respect it.
I think I put Lurleen above Mindy as hottest.
You
Simpsons,
did, I think then, yes.
I'm taking it back.
So Mindy is now the hottest designed Simpson woman.
Springfield Bongo jeans do it for me every time.
Bob, where do you sit?
I think it's the woman whose clothes were torn by a cyclops.
Ah, yes.
But Lurleen's up there for me for sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're all disgusting. Thanks for listening to Talking Simpsons. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts, every Monday at Retronauts.com. There is a brand new goddamn episode of things that you probably want to hear about, like Bart versus the Space Mutants. We recorded an entire episode about that with these guys, and we're talking about a terrible Simpsons game. So if you're new to Retronauts, go to the website, look for the Bart versus the Space Mutants episode, find it in your MP3 player or whatever. You will like Retronauts if you like Talking Simpsons. I think that's it. Oh, yeah, right for fandom.
Fandom.com, which is also where I write, and you can read our works on there. I am also HENEREYG on Twitter. Follow me there. And of course, Talking Simpsons. I have to tell you guys, look, please don't skip through this. You need to know. Patreon.com/LaserTime. It's where the first season of Talking Simpsons lives, mm-hmm. as well as the seasons 2, 3, and 4 wrap-ups, and tons more other special things. There's tons of great stuff there.
15 enormous Talking Simpsons episodes you've never heard. You have to do is support people who want to make stuff for you.
Yeah, just $5 a month, though more is always appreciated. And you know what else, though, too? I haven't asked for this in a long time on here, but we always love new reviews on iTunes. If you haven't, that's just a free thing you can do to help us. If you haven't done it before, just 5 stars. You know, come on, 5 stars. Tell everybody how awesome this is. Let the world know. The world must know how awesome this show is. Give it a review, please, if you can. And, of course, patreon.com/LaserTime.
And LaserTimePodcast.com, where all of these shows live. 30, 2010, the look back, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Video Game Apocalypse, the weekly video game show, and LaserTime. Recent subjects include a walk through 20 years worth of Power Rangers,
wow.
which is something I didn't know I'd be fascinated by, and an upcoming episode where I swear to God, you get to hear Bart rap, and it's not what you think.
It sucks. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Springfield with a dollar sign. I see a memory. I never realized how happy you made me, oh man. Well, you came and you gave without taking. But I sent you away, oh man. Well, you kissed me and stopped me from shaking.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.